All right. Hey, everyone. My next guest is a former colleague of mine turned friend. I actually met her back in the Philippines almost 15 years ago, if not more. She was actually one of the first few that Elaine and I started bugging. We were thinking about making this trip to Canada. And so, it's really nice to have her. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Abby to the pod.
Hello. Hi, Guy. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, Abby, welcome. And thank you so much for accepting my invitation to be on the pod. I'm really thankful for you being here.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure as well to share this story with somebody who moved to Canada and shared the pains and joys of moving, I'd say.
Right. Yeah, definitely a lot of pains. But that's a lot of joys too. So, like I said, we've known each other for quite some time now, but maybe you can introduce yourself to the folks listening in.
Yeah, sure. So I as you mentioned, 15 years ago, we met in our former company, but I am a bachelor's grad of computer science. That's where my passion started in terms of, software development. But it all started back in high school when I learned about animation. So I got into a Pamantasan ng Lungsod ng Maynila, which is one of the prestigious colleges in Manila.
Yes.
And I love computer science. I enjoyed it. So that's where my passion started. And that's when, after graduation, I joined Navitair, which is where I worked with Ryan, who was my former boss when I was in UA. So that's where we met.
Yeah.
I'm not just a colleague. He was my boss. So.
Busabos, yeah, so. If you're Filipino.
Yep, that's the start of my journey, staying in the IT industry, particularly in the airline IT industry, and I didn't change my industry ever since, because in airline operations we were so passionate about learning, the airline industry, the quirks about how those engines work. It was so interesting. I didn't change my industry until today.
Yeah. And that's really the awesome thing about your story, your pathway to Canada. And I say it's very unique because, comparing that to the, let's say, latest quote unquote trends, it's kind of different how you got in, because you did not have to change anything with your career, not even the specific industry within IT, right? So, but before we get there, let me just ask the question, why Canada?
So I have a couple of relatives who lived in Canada. Like, my aunt lived here since the 80s. Mm-hmm. But I got into, I guess 2018 or 2017, I'm already thinking about where should I move. And it's, you have choices. You have the queen countries who has the same set of migration rules. You have Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. Mm-hmm. And all of them are point system based. And professionals like us has chances of moving to those countries. But I got into learning about Montreal, Quebec, particularly because of my sister. So she moved here in 2018. So she moved here, got a profession related to product management, IT as well. So my sister told me back in 2018, why don't you try to just visit here and see the opportunities, see the life that you might have here as your option in terms of, because I was really planning to move out of the Philippines that time.
Right.
And so I did. So 2019, I booked my flight there maybe around July, August. So that's summer here in Quebec. I didn't know about winter yet. So
yeah, that's one of the pains, definitely.
Exactly. So I visited my sister 2019 in July, August time. And then it was a first for me to see Canada. And it was already like a first to see Quebec. So my flight was from Manila to Vancouver and then Quebec. So Vancouver, the usual North American understanding of how things are. Everything is huge, the airport and all that. But when I entered the airport of Quebec, I was a little bit culture shocked because 80-90% of the signage was all French. And I thought, am I in Canada or am I somewhere else in Europe? Right. So that's one thing that my sister gave me a heads up as well. Like, if you are planning to move here, think about the language as well. I enjoyed my trip, of course, because my sister was here. You know, we went to Toronto, we went to Quebec City. I fell in love with Quebec City, particularly that place, the plaza in the middle of Quebec City, because it's a different vibe. You know, that romantic vibe of Quebec City. And my sister told me, by the way, if you want to stay here, just try to apply online. There's a lot of openings because it's hard to hire IT folks here in Quebec. And that has been a struggle pre-COVID, even post-COVID. Oh. So when I went back to the Philippines, what I did immediately was updated my resume and sent a bunch of applications online, like just in LinkedIn, Seek, you know, the usual websites where Canadian employers would look for a profile, Indeed.
Right. So,
and that's how it started. And around 2019 of October, so I arrived in the Philippines from the visit August. Mm-hmm. October, somebody reached out to me in LinkedIn. The name is Plusgrade, which is my current company, and they're looking for somebody who knows about GDSs, the airline industry,
yes,
who's been in the industry, and has a product management experience.
Mm-hmm.
So that's perfect because that's exactly my profile. Like, I'm a senior BA in the Philippines. I've handled GDSs. I've handled airline operation systems.
Right.
And my most recent stint was all about reservation systems with CWT, which is, that's what they needed. They needed somebody who knows the global distribution system, like Sabre Amadeus by heart.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's how it all started.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, that was just perfect for you. And I think for me, what I got out of this is there are still ways to get directly hired, because that's not a usual thing that people look into these days. A lot of them just do the student pathway. But this is an interesting story. And you said it's actually still available today for IT, at least in Quebec?
Yep. Like, for example, right now, we're still struggling to hire people. We're now open to looking for people outside of Quebec because that's how hard it is to hire people. Like, we have people from Calgary. We have people from Brazil who are contractors now. We have people from the US. As long as they can work on the same time zone.
Oh, okay.
That's how it is. Because we're not limited to just people within Quebec.
For most companies in Quebec, there would be the French requirement, right?
You're right. It depends on the company if they're really practicing the French language within the company. Okay. But so far, I'm lucky that it's not required. So we have different offices in Toronto, Dubai, you know, Singapore. So it's a global company. So in the office, we speak the English language.
Ah, okay. So at least that makes it a bit easier. Although I know you've learned French already, but at least that's makes it more open for others who have not yet learned French.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm curious, Abby, because you mentioned that the company that contacted you on LinkedIn, they're your current company, right? But I remember your story back in the middle of the pandemic. How did the whole hiring process go? I mean, that's a fun story. Well, I would say fun now, right? But back then, I'm not sure it was.
That time it was so stressful. So that's an interesting question because follow through to my story. So I was hired October of 2019, and we were already processing my labor market impact assessment because I'm going to be hired with a closed work permit. So with closed work permit, the goal of the employer is to submit all of the requirements for labor market impact assessment, which in layman's, it means they have to prove to the Canadian government that they cannot hire somebody here. So they have somebody overseas to fly here. So that's the biggest work, I'd say, of the employer to prove that there's no such talent that knows the airline industry, who's a product person, has a technical background, and they have to prove it. that in the past history of their hires, there's no one that they can find. So I'm really grateful they did that. And then the pandemic hits early 2020 for us. It was January. I remember I was in the airport January 22 or 23. And I have a trip for business with my former company, which is Carlson Wagon Lit Travel. Okay. We have a business trip going to China when the COVID, yes, when COVID was starting. But then Taal Volcano spark off or had an eruption that day.
I remember so that,
We didn't went, I'm not sure if it was Jen or Fab, February, but we didn't went to China that day. So it's like the universe telling me, you're not supposed to go there and die with COVID. Taal will save you.
Yeah.
So the long story short, I didn't went to China, but I got news from my employer that my visa processing was already submitted, but they're starting to lay off some people in the company because of COVID, because the airline industry was the one that was struck like highly because of COVID. So the guy who was who interviewed me in October was laid off. Oh, and no. That was scary for me because it's the same company who was hiring people overseas, but also letting go of their local people. So I said now to myself, what's going to happen to my visa processing? I was already hired. I already signed the contract.
Mm-hmm.
So they have no news. They just went on with the visa processing. And then I kept on asking HR, am I still hired? Am I still hired? Their response was yes. So that was March of 2020. I was expecting for my visa to arrive because they told me that close work permit is supposed to be quick. It was 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
So they started the process January. I'm supposed to fly out March 2020 here. And then that's it. I was supposed to be here 2020. So what I did was, okay, you're expecting my visa to be given March. Despite being in COVID where everyone was on lockdown, I have this high hopes that I would still be able to be given a window where the airports would, the lockdown would open up and all that. So I resigned from PWT. So I didn't have a job since March as I wait for my visa. But then all the lockdowns like striked. US, like even the Philippines. So I don't have a job from March until October of 2020 because I was waiting for my visa.
Yeah.
But that's fine because I'm an independent woman. I have not a ton of money, but I have enough just to sustain my daily lifestyle.
Yeah.
So October, I had news from HR that we're not going to hire anymore.
Oof.
So we're not sure if we're going to hire you. But keep us posted once you receive news about your visa. So that's October of 2020. Like, I was so devastated because I resigned March and I was out of job for 6 months. And now you're telling me you're not going to hire me anymore.
Yeah.
So what I did was, fine, I have to move on. It is what it is. So I applied for a local company, which is called Aeronology. And that's where I saw Carl Cruz again, like all those ex-Navitaire people.
Yeah.
On a different company.
Okay.
Which is also a startup based in Makati, but this time it's Australia based.
Mm-hmm.
So still related to the airline industry. That's where I am hired, or I was hired as a project manager / BA. So I took that job. And then November 10, I heard news about my visa. So October, I was told, you're not going to be hired anymore.
Uh-huh.
November 2020, I got my visa. And then I informed HR. And then they told me, we'll talk to our lawyers. We are still hiring. Because it's almost the not the end yet of pandemic, but things are starting to open up that time in terms of the borders. So I sent them a copy of my visa. They continued with processing my papers. And then they told me, just wait for the moment when the borders open up and you have to come here to Canada.
Yeah.
So that was their instructions to me. So I waited. I stayed in the company where I was currently working. Sorry, but it is what it is. I have to look after my career at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And then when I heard about the borders in the news being, you know, getting opened up around December, January, I said to myself, I have to get out, because anytime COVID again had another variant or series or whatever, lockdowns will be back again, and I won't have the chance to get out of the Philippines.
Right.
So I remember early January, so I filed my resignation. My ex-boss was devastated. I thought, you're going to stay here. We were supposed to bring you to Australia. For me, that was not my dream. I really want to go to Canada because my sister is here. And so POEA was a whole lot of bosses in the Philippines. I kid you not. That's another frustrating thing for
me. Wait, for those listening, what's POEA again?
Philippine Overseas. I forgot the E and the A. Employment agency, yes. Basically our government body who takes care of
overseas workers. Employees. So, okay, wow, okay. How was that?
that was such a pain because I told them, how can we fast track the process? So there's a lot. So there's phase one, phase two, phase three. Like phase one, submit all of your documents to them. So I have to give them my contract, the LMIA, like everything. And then after 2 weeks, they're going to review the document. Phase two is you're going to attend the seminar, which is just reminders for overseas Filipino workers that you should not be slaved. Like you should be paid well, like those seminars, which is a must. I understand. It's value. And then phase three is getting the certificate that you can now fly. Okay. So all in all, it's around 4 to 5 weeks of processing. But it was, you know, the stress of, okay, if it's still pandemic, like all government offices is still closed.
Yeah.
When will I receive the news? What if I had another lockdown again? It's the sweet time that the borders are open. So POEA, can you please speed up? That's what's going on in my head that time. But I was lucky that, you know, everything was on time, on point. It's like the universe was trying to tell me, just have to be patient, just have to pray for it, just have to, you know. So I waited, I followed up every time in their emails that did I need to follow up on any documentation? Mm-hmm. Do I miss it? Do I need to pay something? But no, everything was on point. They gave me an update after 2 weeks, phase one is done, after my seminar. They gave me an update. You receive your certificate X number of days. And kudos to the government officers of the Philippines at time. All of their SLAs were on time, despite being on COVID. Yeah. And I was surprised. Yeah. So January, I flew out and I arrived here. So,
yeah. So January 2021. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it took a year almost just to get here.
Yeah. And yeah, you're right. I think since January 2021, there were a couple of closures, border closures again, right?
Yep.
So it's a good thing that you got through.
Yes. That's why I was telling the POEA officer, we were making jokes where I remember that girl trying to tell me, you're so lucky, ma'am. You still have a job despite being in COVID times. So I was like, yeah, I am, like, there's only a few of us in POEA that time who are under closed work permit. And when you talk to those people with their mask on that time, like, it's either the one flying to Australia, Canada, and then European countries. So there's a lot of Canadian employers who hired overseas that time as well. Most of them nurses, doctors, because they're required in COVID during that time. So it was a learning experience for me, a humbling experience as well, because for you to still get hired despite telling that you're not hired anymore.
Yeah.
And be able to come here at a sweet time where the borders are open.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, that's such an amazing experience. And the best part is I signed up for a job where I was a junior BA or product manager, which in the Philippines, when I left, I was already a senior BA.
Mm-hmm.
But then I said, that's fine. I mean, I'll progress along the way. So true enough, I joined Plus Grade. After 2 years, I got promoted to a senior technical product manager position.
Nice.
Because they realized I was not a junior business analyst or product person. I have experience. I've also handled a couple of people back in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I'm moving up again to a new role, which is product management. So for Rail systems this time.
Oh,
so,
Rail systems. Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, rail upgrade this time. I want to learn something new. And it's always been that way for me, I guess, as like in retrospect, even in Navitaire. Like I didn't settle for what is just given to me. I started as a QA. Okay, I got bored. It was all manual testing, selenium. I need to
I remember that, yes.
You know it by heart, for sure.
Yeah. Because
you were the one who built the test cases, kind of tell structure of what we have for AOps that time.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, try software development. Okay, I learned about software development, applied my background. Let's learn about BA. It's always looking forward to what's next, I guess. They never regret, you know, trying to apply for those stuff because you never know until you look back.
Mm-hmm.
There's value in those decisions that you risk everything just to go with it. That's what I realized today.
Yeah. No, definitely. That's what I see also in your kind of journey is how you just found something, get the most out of it, and then find ways to kind of improve your skills, get better at it. And, you know, we always knew. We always told you were one of the superstars in the team.
Wow.
And I think really the lesson there is if you, you know, just continue to improve your skills, people are going to really hire you and wait for you even, right? So, you know, it's an interesting journey for sure, man. And now you're going to have another interesting journey with a new role. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yeah. And I actually want to thank Navitaire and Accenture because the foundations that they taught me, the onboarding process, the processes that we have, you guys, our ex-bosses, I think that shaped me as a person. Like even my former boss in CWT, Thea, you might have seen her in my social media posts, she also shaped me as to who I am. So like those past experiences for me is who made me, like, you know, applied overseas. I knew I was ready because I was coached by great people like you, Thea, Ish, Glendy, like those are the former, Ria, and Lil, like those are the great former bosses that I have with like each of your own ways to insert your knowledge and coaching. I brought it along with me. So thank you guys as well for those, you know, years where I learned a lot from you.
Yeah, thank you for that kind word for including me there. What I'd love to see, I guess, maybe to get some tips and advice to people who are thinking of doing the same thing, those who are thinking about making the move. Like you said, you made a decision and you went for it.
Yep. Tips, I'd say be very open in terms of becoming a sponge, because I didn't move here out of a whim. I did my research. So I watch a lot of YouTube videos. ZT Canada, I'm not sure if you know that YouTuber. So it was my sister's friend. He has a YouTube video for migrants and what are like every month or quarter or annually, what are the open or upcoming types of visa that you have to, you know, make sure you get the experience and try it out. I also have to make sure that I read all of the news, for example, in terms of the paths to getting my PR, because I got in with my work permit, but then I already read about Quebec's PR path.
Yes.
And it was a sweet time because when I got here 2021, they started a pilot program for people working on the IT sector, visual arts, and artificial intelligence. Ooh. That is not required French in terms of you're not supposed to be a francophone, but rather you're just going to sign a paper that you're going to go to under francisation, which is you will be taught in Quebec French as you work here. Okay. And then afterward, you can apply for your PR. So that's where I got my PR as well, just last year, August. I applied for that pilot program, which is sort of a provincial nominee program for Quebec. Okay. So you have to read a lot in terms of, I'm going to this province, what's the cost of living? Watch a lot of YouTube videos. But I'm very fortunate because I lived with my sister for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. So in terms of expenses, like the rental, I was able to manage it a little when I moved here. But right. But read a lot about that as well. Yeah, it's mostly just reading and watching videos. So like those are the stuff that you have to look after when you move to a different country. Because even before I moved to Canada as well, I also learned about the Australian government migration. Like, I already had everything prepared as well for my move to Australia because my father has a like cousins there. One of my cousins is also an agent for migration. So she's also coaching me in terms of the requirements. But then I learned about the pros and cons of choosing Australia over Canada in terms of benefits, in terms of the cost of living. Like Sydney is also another expensive city to live in, and so is Melbourne. So reading, watching a lot of videos, that would really help you a lot. And then try to write down what is it that you really want to achieve, because I have an option to move to Toronto because there's a lot of IT openings there as well. But I realized when I look at the annual salary requirement versus your savings because of the rental, you will not save a lot. And Quebec is a great place to live right now because you still have the same salary as other parts of the province. Rental is not that high. It's starting to increase over time, but Montreal is a great city. It's not your average North American city, but it kind of looks like Europe as well. Rent is still cheap. Like, for example, a 5.5 or a 4.5 is just $1,000 or $1,200. But in Toronto, it's times 3.
What's a 5.5? Sorry, 5?
Five rooms.
Wait, what? How much? Wait, five rooms, how much?
You can get it for $1,200 to $1,600. No. Exactly. It depends on how close you are in terms of proximity downtown.
Yeah.
So, but if you get $1,200 in Toronto, that might just be a studio or even smaller than that. So I read about it as well before I
our basement here. Cost more than that when I was there. Oh my God. Okay.
See? Yeah. So, it's really just the language that people are afraid of. But I also didn't know, I just learned it from my sister, that the Quebec government gives allowances to migrants for them to learn French. So when I arrived here, that's the immediate thing that I did. Like, I have to learn French because you have no choice. Everything that you see is in French. So when I got here, that's the one thing that I did as well. I applied for a school where they would give $25 per day for partial, because you can do full-time or partial learning of the French language. And it's all in the IRCC website, right? Anyway, it's not a secret or not a confidential information. That's how the Quebec province preserves the language. Even migrants are given allowance just to learn French. So it's great that how they advocate hiring people overseas, but also helping them to integrate within Quebec with that, that opportunity to learn their language and earn a little as your allowance.
Right.
So that's another thing I read about it as well. Because what I did was, so 8 to 5 job, and then 6 to 9 p.m. I have my French class. And I did that for almost 2 years.
Wow.
So it was a lot as well for me, because I know there's value in doing that, because I live here and I will live here. I will need the French language. So that's how I started learning French as well. I did attend school 3 times a week. So that's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. after my 8 to 5 job.
Yeah. Well, that's dedication right there. And I think you're right. You know, I think that's a great tip about not just learning all these things before coming to Canada or going wherever, but when you get there, you're still learning new things. For you, it was the language. It was now the PR pathway. And soon, hopefully soon, it will be the citizenship, right? So those are wonderful tips. I would love to hear some nice French words. How fluent are you in French now, Abby?
Je parle toujours en français avec ma compagne. Donc, oui.
That's so good, though. I mean, the pronunciation, that's awesome, dude. I don't know what you said, but it's awesome.
I just said I'm speaking French with my boyfriend and his family now.
Oh, nice.
Well, his family is all French Canadian, so I have no choice. But I'm happy that I learned French a little before I met him. That helped. But it's different when you're communicating with somebody who's speaking the language. But it's hard because in the Philippines, you enunciate every word.
Yeah.
Here, they have a lot of letters, but you don't read those letters. And it's the pronunciation that also scares me whenever, up to date, my confidence in terms of speaking is very low because of our Asian accent. You have to speak up, you have to practice before you get to perfection, of course.
Yeah, you have to really do it every day, right? I mean, Duolingo just didn't cut it for me, so
that's where I started, by the way.
Yeah, you did? Okay.
Yeah, but those are the fun stuff that you have to invest some time on. I did Duolingo for quite some time as well before my move here, and still doing it today sometimes. Like if I'm just, you know, fiddling with my phone, I still have my Duolingo just to remind me of some words.
That's awesome. Wait, hold on. So you were doing Duolingo even back in the Philippines?
Before my move here, because my sister was trying start learning about the basics, like where's the toilet, where's the exit, you know,
that's, you know, for me that also just goes to show you how you need to really invest in learning about where you're gonna plan to go, right? Not just it was all, like you said, it was all intentional, it was all planned. You write things down, and it's really lovely to see your journey from the Philippines, how we met each other, how we bugged you when you got here, asking you so many questions about the experience. And I'm super, super grateful for our friendship and for, you know, just allowing me to bug you and now being a guest here.
Because you also had you also had some difficulties, you guys, in terms of your move here, right? So it's the same experience. It's a waiting game. Like, I did everything I can. Will I get my visa? After you get your visa, will I be able to fly here? Like, those are the anxieties that we feel when we tell me I'm wrong. But that's why you're smiling right now. That's exactly how I feel. For sure.
I remember. I was actually going when I was preparing for this interview, I went through our messages and I saw right there that the same day we found out about our visa, you were one of the few, like, we messaged, Abby, we got our visa. It's like, and we're leaving soon before it closed down again.
Yeah, and I was grateful that you guys kept in touch with me, and so was Alain, because those are the things that I miss. Like right now, my sets of friends are, of course, some of my friends in the office, my French classmates, but I still have Navitaire friends. Like I have Justin, Louise, Jamie, and it's totally different when you keep those connections. Because it gives you a sense of home as well.
Yep. I've reached out to them, so I'm definitely going to bring them on the pod too. And we will one of these days visit you in Montreal as soon as you know our situation is with the whole PR path, and it's a fun experience. So that's another topic for another day.
Yeah.
I guess before we end this, any final words to people out there who are listening in, whether they're already in Canada, they're planning to come to Canada?
I guess never stop learning because and then you know, keep your feet grounded, because that's what kept me going ever since and until today. When I moved here, I said, I'm a senior BA, why am I taking a junior position? But that's how life is. Like wherever you go, you have to keep on learning, keep on adapting. That's how Filipinos are as well, by the way. I'm impressed. Filipinos are very resilient. Like living here in winter when you can have all the fun in the Philippines close to the beach, that's another thing. So yeah, do your research well if you're going to move to a country. Learn about the particular city you're going to live in terms of expenses, because in the news lately I saw that most of the people who went to Canada are now heading back home because of the cost of living. Yeah. So you have to really, you know, sustain your finances, manage it well as part of your planning when you move. And to me, finances are very important. My mom is an accounting grad, so that's the first thing I learned when I was young. Wherever you go, the finances will be the one you're, as your, you know, source of decision making, whether you can stay there or move out. So that's another difference.
Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah, I think you're right. You know, keep yourself grounded, because the lifestyle here can get you in a way if you don't watch out, because things are easy to acquire, but they're not easy to pay.
Yes.
So yeah. Thank you so much for that, Abby, and thank you for your time. I'm sure people learned a lot from your journey, and I hope they get inspired by your persistence on your goal and your just persistence to keep learning. Thanks again, and talk to you soon.
Yep. Thank you, Rai. Thank you, guys.